Please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 25 following. There you are, page 1028 in the church Bibles. Kind of thinking of Holiday at Home, thinking of older people in our community. There's some wonderful stories in the Bible, incidents recorded in the Bible that particularly involve older folk. And I've chosen one of my favourite. I hope it's one of yours as well, or will be one of yours by the time we've finished, about Simeon, a wonderful story about an older man. From Luke chapter 2, verse 25-35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, thank you for the precious stories that it records about your dealings with people like us. And so, Father, we pray now that you'll help us as we look at this passage together. Lord, open our minds, we pray, so that we might understand, but also open our hearts that we might receive your word. And give us grace, we pray, for your Holy Spirit's help, that we might respond rightly to what we learn here. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Luke 2, 25-35, and I've given it the title, Peace. Peace. Giving presents. This isn't a sort of advertising, but it is my birthday this coming week. So I'm hoping I might receive the odd present. Not much chance, Joel says. I'm also fine with the idea of giving people presents. It's a lovely thing to do. And I'm quite happy to spend money buying presents for people I know and love. But the thing I really struggle with, this is confession time, is what on earth do you give them? I'm not one of those people who's very good at coming up with ideas. I can visualize that situation. I've been in it quite a few times. It's getting towards, let's say, Christmas, and there's somebody you ought to buy something for, and it's one of my relatives. So Wendy said, you better go out and get them a present. And I'm wandering around Newtown, praying for inspiration. You go into somewhere like Rainbow's End, you think there must be something I could, some sort of knick-knack I could get for them. I'm awful at it. What makes a good present? Well, let's look at it from the other end. What is the best present you have ever received? You know, something you really needed, something delightful, or perhaps something that just said you mattered to someone whose friendship you really valued. Maybe it isn't even something that someone has bought for you, if we want to extend it that far. It's something someone did for you that didn't cost any money, but was incredibly costly to them in other ways. The passage of the Bible that I just read tells us about an incredibly precious gift. A gift far more valuable than anything this world has to offer. A present that money can't buy. So let me set the scene before I introduce this gift to you. The scene that I read takes place a few weeks, about 6 weeks, after the birth of Jesus. So in our terms, what are you into? Early February, something like that. According to the Jewish law, baby boys had to be presented at that age at the temple, and an appropriate sacrifice has to be made. So Mary and Joseph have taken the baby Jesus there, and at that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon whom God had given a special message to. Simeon had been told by God, look, you won't die until you have seen the promised Messiah. You know, the Jews have been waiting for centuries for this Messiah, this promised one, this anointed one, who God had said would come one day and would sort out all the mess in the world, would put things to right. And Simeon had this wonderful message from God, you're not going to die before that happens. And that same day that Mary and Joseph were bringing the baby into the temple, God prompts Simeon to go there. And Simeon sees the baby Jesus with his parents, and he takes the baby into his arms. They're obviously fairly trusting parents, so they thought, this old man can't do any harm. And he utters these words, Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. That is the gift. So I've got 5 points this morning. Don't worry, it won't. That doesn't mean it's a very, very long sermon. I've got 5 points this morning, and the first one is peace. The first one is peace. Now, what an incredibly precious gift. I don't know if it's true every generation, but it feels like we live, particularly at the moment, in a world of insecurity, a world of strife, a world of fears, a world of worry, a world of uncertainty. That's just on a sort of global level. But what about on a personal level? Some of you I know well, some of you I know a little, others you I best of my knowledge, I haven't met you before this morning. So I don't know what's going on in all your lives. But I have no doubt that if we could collect up all the worries, all the concerns, all the fears represented here, and put them, as it were, in a pile at the front, it would be a huge pile of fears and worries and anxieties. Worries about health, worries about money, worries about the security of jobs, worry about those in our families, worry about our relationships, worry about our children, our grandchildren, many other things. But above all else, the sort of, as it were, the crowning stuff, the top of the pile, the biggest thing that weighs so many down, is the fear of death. And yet Simeon can say to God, Sovereign Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon is saying, I can go out of this temple in peace. I can face whatever the future holds in peace. I can depart from this life in peace. The calm assurance of this verse is stunning. Sovereign Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon now knows complete peace. The Jewish term peace, and I guess you probably know what it is. If there were two words in, or possibly three in Hebrew that you probably know, one is hallelujah, one is amen. The third might be shalom, shalom, peace, the Hebrew word peace. But that Hebrew word peace is much richer than our word. You know, when we talk about peace, we talk about, oh, Lord, we pray there might be peace in the Middle East, and that's a great thing to pray for. And we mean that the war would stop. But the Hebrew term peace, shalom, is bigger than that. It's not just an absence of conflict, but a sense of security, of wholeness, of complete well-being, a sense that, yes, everything's okay. Whatever the future holds, Simeon is ready for it. Whatever happens to him, nothing, Simeon says, can now shatter my peace. Now, put it to you, what a precious thing to know such peace. And if we think our world is bad, well, my goodness, he lived in a nation that had been conquered by the Romans. He lived in amongst an oppressed people. To know such peace in a world of war and strife, such security in a world that seems such a vulnerable place, to know such certainty for eternity that whatever happens, I know my future is certain. There can be no better gift than that, the gift of peace. It's a gift that will never disappoint, a gift that is more than most people ever hope for, as much as you could ever hope for. It won't wear out. Batteries will never need replacing. It has an eternal guarantee. It won't be superseded by a better model brought out next year. Now, where can we find such peace? How did Simeon have it? He certainly didn't buy it. This is a present the world can't buy. Even Amazon don't sell it. There are many rich people in our world who haven't got it. There are many of the poorest people in the world who do possess it. So where does such peace come from? Well, that brings me to the second point. It comes wrapped up in Jesus. Peace through Jesus, secondly. The clues are there in the passage. If we look again, if you've got a Bible open in front of you, reading 29:30, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What has he just seen? What is Simeon looking at as he says that? Well, the thing that he's looking at is the baby Jesus, because he's just taken Jesus up in his arms. This, Simeon knows, this baby is the Christ, the Messiah that God has promised. Wonderful, precious truth that you can see where peace comes from. The coming of peace into our lives is somehow linked with Jesus coming into the world. God gave the gift of Jesus so that we, like Simeon, might have this wonderful peace, this present that money can't buy. And yet it is very, very obvious in our world that many people do not have this peace. Perhaps you're one of them. Perhaps you're putting a brave face on it. But deep down, you are troubled. You have no peace. I remember Dan, lots of Dans in church, Dan Owen, once saying that when he was at university, before he became a Christian, he said he appeared to be having a wonderful time. But he said, actually, deep, deep down, I was desperately unhappy. Many, many people put a brave face on things, but deep down, they're very troubled. I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to answer me. This is for your benefit. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? We all need to know this peace, a peace that only Jesus can give. Now, how is it that Jesus came into the world to bring peace? And very evidently there are some like Simeon who've received it, but others haven't. How is it that some receive this gift of peace and others don't? How can I have it? How can you have it? Well, thirdly, peace means being saved by Jesus. Peace means being saved by Jesus. Listen again to Simeon. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. So Simeon links knowing this peace with salvation. The two are connected. He said, I can go in peace now because my eyes have seen your salvation. What's that all about? Well, remember, we're just 6 weeks after Christmas. Cast your mind back to Christmas Day. It's only about 7 months and a bit ago. The stories we have read then. The angel told Joseph that the child Mary was to give birth to was to be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He was to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Jesus actually means, it's Hebrew, it's a contraction of the Hebrew for God saves. God saves. That's why he's to be called Jesus. His name, as it says, he does what it says on the can. He's there as a saviour. During Holiday at Home, we were looking at some of the parables, some of the stories that Jesus told about farming. And one of the ones we looked at was the parable of the lost sheep. And we learned that we, like that lost sheep, are lost. And we learned that we are lost because we have wandered away from God. We looked at Isaiah's phrase, or we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That turning away from God, going our own way, is what the Bible describes as sin. We can be outwardly very respectable. We can be upright members of the community. We can even be chapel goers, church goers. And yet still deep down, we can be in rebellion against God. We can be determined to do what we want Monday to Saturday. We say, okay, God, I'll do a deal with you. You can have a bit of Sunday morning, but the rest of the time's mine. I do what I want when I get up on Monday morning. The tragedy is that we think we will be happy if we do that, if we go our own way. But actually, going our own way just robs us of our peace. Because it means we're cut off from God. We're turned away from God. If we're going to have that peace, we need to be saved. We need to be rescued. We need to be found. We need to be saved from our sins, from that wandering off, going our own way. We need to be forgiven. And Jesus knows and believes that... Jesus knows. Simeon knows and believes that Jesus has come to save him so that he can have that peace. Says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So how come only some come to find this peace? We've seen so far this peace is the most priceless gift of all. We've seen that peace comes through Jesus. We've seen that peace means being saved by Jesus. Why have only some received that? Fourthly, peace through believing in Jesus. Peace through believing in Jesus. Jesus has come to be the Savior. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. If we're going to benefit from them, then we have to believe certain things. To start with, we have to believe that we're sinners and that sin is a problem. You know, I guess just about everybody here knows that Christians talk about sin and that sinners are against it. There was a famous story about an American president at the beginning of the last century who went to church. His wife, for some reason, wasn't there. He came back from church and his wife said, what was the sermon about? He said, sin. And she said, what had the preacher got to say? And he said he was against it. We know that. We know that Christians talk about sin and we know it's a bad thing. But as I said, lots of people are a lot more vague about just what sin is. Is it doing just really wicked things? You know, if we had to compile a list of sinners, would we just put on people like Hitler on it, and Idi Amin, and Pol Pot, and so on, and Stalin? No, it's not. Sin is doing wrong, saying wrong, thinking wrong, but not just what we might say really terrible things. It is disobeying the God who made us, turning away from him, saying, I'll go my own way, I'll do what seems right to me. That is what sin is. Sin is against God. It's not just breaking some sort of list of rules up in the office. It's disobeying God. So if you're going to benefit from Jesus coming to the world as Savior, then you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've got a problem. And you have to believe that sin is indeed a problem. There are many people in the world who might be prepared to agree that there is a God. Atheism has always been a minority option. Not many people in our world are atheists, actually. Many people, I think, nearly everybody would acknowledge, no, I'm not perfect. I do things that I suppose God doesn't like. But then most people don't see it as much of a problem. They just shrug their shoulders and say, well, no one is perfect. And it's my life. What's it got to do with God anyway? The answer is that God is your creator. God made you. You're answerable to him whether you like it or not. But the key thing here is that if you're going to benefit from the coming of Jesus into the world as Savior and find the peace that he brings, you have to believe that you are a sinner, and that is a problem. But then, of course, wonderfully, that's the bad news. The good news is you have to believe that Jesus is the Savior, that he is the one who has come to deal with the problem of your sin, and that he has succeeded in doing so. Simeon seems like a good man. It says he was righteous and devout. He was a religious man. But Simeon knew he needed salvation. He needed a Savior. And Simeon was rejoicing that morning because he had seen the Savior. He's saying, yes, this is the Savior I need. Jesus didn't just come to look cute on Christmas cards. Jesus grew up. And he didn't just come to tell us, be good, love one another. Jesus came to die. And he didn't just die because he had made some powerful enemies. He died to save us from our sins. He died to take the punishment we deserve for our sins. Again, in the week we were thinking, when we were thinking about the shepherd, we were thinking of how Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. And then amazingly went on to say, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. Jesus did what he said. He did lay down his life on the cross, so that we might be forgiven. And he not only died, he rose from the dead, demonstrating that he had won the victory over all his enemies and ours, over sin, death, the devil, and hell. So you're only going to benefit from Jesus and find the peace if you believe you're a sinner. That is the big problem that's actually robbing you of peace. It's not that you haven't got quite enough money, or it's not that something's going on with your health. The thing that is robbing you from peace is that your sins have come between you and God, and so your future is hopeless. So like Simeon, you need to rely on the Savior. And that brings us to the final step. Fifthly, peace through turning from sin. Peace through turning from sin. If you're serious in recognizing that sin is the problem, that it's against God and that you need saving from it, forgiving from it, then you'll be prepared to turn from it, to stop rebelling against God and to start going as well. You can't say to God, oh yeah, I admit I'm a sinner, I need forgiving, please forgive me, great, now I'll carry on sinning. Once you become a Christian, you are committing yourself to obeying all that Jesus commands you to do. Not just a selected list. Jesus, remember, said to his disciples, go and make other disciples, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. That's what the Bible calls repentance. Turning from going your own way and turning back. That's where the illustration with the sheep really breaks down. Sheep are very good at wandering off from the shepherd. But I checked this with Edward, who used to be a farmer, in the week, that no sheep he knew of had ever, after it had wandered out the field through a hole in the fence, had ever said, actually, I think I'll turn around and go and look for the shepherd. Sheep don't do that, but by God's grace, when Jesus finds us, we have to return to him and going his way. And that is where people start to divide. At the end of the story of Simeon, there are some lines which sound a bit obscure. They were Simeon speaking to Mary about Jesus. This is what she said. I'll just read them, then I'll try and explain them. He said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." What's all that about? Well, I've stood here and talked about us being prepared to acknowledge that we are sinners, that we've rebelled against God, and that is a problem, and about being prepared to give up that rebellion to rely on Jesus for forgiveness. But that news, that message from the Bible, prompts a reaction inside us. Deep down inside us. When we hear that message that Jesus is saying, this is the good news, I have come and died so that you might be forgiven, so that you might be rescued, but I'm asking you to turn away from your sin and commit yourself to going my way with me as Lord, with me as, like the sheep would follow the shepherd. Then actually, either we hear that message and respond with joy and gratitude, praise God, I can be forgiven, this burden can be taken away from me, I can find peace. Or it prompts a rejection, a response of rejection and anger. Just as when Jesus was on earth, there were many who hated it when he said, what you're doing is wrong. You're going the wrong way. You need to turn to back to God. You need to submit to me as your ruler. See, our response to Jesus reveals what is going on deep inside us. As Simeon put it, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And the result of that response is that many will either rise because they trust in Christ and are saved and find peace and forgiveness, or many will fall as they reject that and go their own way. You have a choice. You may wish to reject the Bible's message that I've been trying to simply explain this morning. But that would be tragic. For in doing so, you would be rejecting the gift that money can't buy. You would be robbing yourself of the wonderful peace that Simeon found. So I plead with you this morning, don't stubbornly cling on to your sins. Don't reject God's claim on your life. That will rob you of peace eternally. You may fill the void with all sorts of things, even religion, but there will still be an empty soul, hole in your soul that nothing can fill. And you'll have to face God's judgment when you die. So I plead with you, give up going your own way. Be like Simeon. Say, I need a Savior. Praise God, the Savior has come. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to be forgiven and receive this wonderful peace. Listen again as we draw to a close to Simeon. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Isn't Simeon a truly blessed man? Hasn't Simeon received the best present of all? Present that money can't buy. And it's yours if you simply give up rebellion against God and trust in Jesus to forgive you. He paid for that present. You know, if I get any presents next week, someone will have to cough up and pay for them. But You don't have to pay for this because Jesus paid for the present he gives to you. He paid for it with his blood on the cross so that you might receive it as a free gift. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your incredible generosity that you give us the most priceless present. Well, priceless, the most worthwhile present, the best present, but it was cost an incredible price. The price of your Son dying on the cross so that we might be freely forgiven and that we might have this wonderful hope, this wonderful peace that I'm right with God, I'm reconciled to God, heaven awaits me. Lord, I pray in your mercy that each of us here today, from the youngest to the oldest, may receive that wonderful gift like Simeon did, so that we might say with him, Lord, whatever comes, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.